Thank you for listening to the Soul City Church podcast. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook and Instagram at Soul City Church. For more information, visit us on our website, soulcitychurch.com.
Soul City Church, good morning. Good morning, good morning. If we maybe haven't had the chance to meet yet, hi. It's nice to meet you. My name is John. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here. And we're going to, if you couldn't tell, we're actually going to start this morning a little different than our norm. If you've been around here, you know normally we begin our gatherings by seeking God together through musical worship, but we're going to do something a little different. We're still going to seek God together, but we're actually going to start by doing it through what we would call contemplative or reflective prayer. Right now, I'm going to lead you through a time of prayer that we actually do here at the church as a staff every single week, and it's super easy. I promise you it's not intimidating. Really, you just have to follow along with the prompts that I give you, and if you ever lose your spot or forget what you're supposed to be doing, it'll all be on the screen. Don't worry. This way of praying, like I said, it's a way of praying our staff engages in every single week together, and it's actually borrowed from Jesus's prayer in Matthew chapter 6, which says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts," or forgive us our sins, "as we also have forgiven our debtors," or those who sin against us. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, if you look closely, there's essentially three basic movements to this prayer. Movement one is thanks. "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name." Movement two is sorry, forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins. Then movement three, there's a prayer of help. Give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. And so what I want to do is I'm going to lead you through all three of those movements. And your only job is just to sit in a comfortable position and just pray as best as you know how today. If it helps you close your eyes, you can close your eyes. If it helps you to place your hands open, palms facing up on your lap, if that helps, take whatever posture is comfortable for you. And then you just have to follow along with these prompts that I'm going to give you, and you can pray to God in the silence of your own heart. So we're going to begin now with prayers of thanks. Specifically, I want you to think back on the last week. And what are some things that you want to thank God for? What are some things that happened? Some conversations you had? Maybe it's some good news you got? And you just want to thank God for it. You can do that right now in the silence of your own heart in prayer to God. Just say thank you to God for all the blessings of this last week. Now we move on to movement two, some prayers of sorry. So again, thinking back on this last week, what are some things that you need to say sorry to God for? Where are some ways that you fell short? You messed it up? You didn't show up or act in the way that you knew God would want you to? You leaned into a habit that you know is not of God or from God. And you just need to say sorry to God for that, knowing that God meets your sorry with love, with grace, and with forgiveness. What do you need to say sorry to God for today? And finally, we lean into prayers of help. So now, thinking forward to the week that is to come, what are some things that you want to ask for God's help in? Maybe there's some situations that you feel overwhelmed by, and so you need God's help. Something on your calendar that's been causing you anxiety. Something that you're facing this week that you know you can't carry it. You know you can't engage with it alone. Just take a moment now and ask for God's help in whatever you need. So God, together we say thank you for your faithfulness. Together we say sorry for the ways that we have been forgetful. And together we ask your help, believing that you always have been and always will continue to be faithful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wasn't that nice? Right? I don't know about you, but for me, after a pretty busy and sometimes stressful holiday week, I just needed that. Did anyone else need that? I definitely did, okay? And you know, maybe that particular reflection did it for you, maybe it didn't. But have you ever had one of those, like, I needed that type moments? You know, when you finally have a day off after a really long week of work and you finally get in those sweatpants and you're like, I needed that. Or maybe you took a vacation in the middle of a really stressful season and you finally got to the beach and you're like, I needed that, right? Or maybe you took time out in the middle of your day to do a little self-care, you know, take a walk. Get a massage. Just sit down for a second and you think, I needed that. A little confession for you all. I recently did a sound bath. Anyone ever done one of these before? Okay, wow, a few of you. Good for you. So if you're not familiar, essentially, you lie on the ground while an instructor kind of leads you through a meditation while tapping on these bowls that make this really peaceful sound. And that's it. Like, you just lay there for an hour. And I'll be honest, when I was first invited to this, I thought it was completely weird and a little bit hoodoo voodoo for me, you know, like just a little bit over the line. And I'll be really honest with you, once we did it, I still thought it was really weird. But there was a part of me, you know what I thought when I left that room? I thought, I needed that. I needed that. And you know, what we're experiencing in these types of I needed that moments, what we're really experiencing is a sense of what we would call peace, right? That's what we're experiencing. And the truth is, we as humans, I don't know if you've noticed, we need peace. We need it, right? We are not meant to live these constantly busy, overcommitted, anxiety-ridden lives. We are not meant to only ever exist in conflict and contentiousness and relational brokenness. Eventually and ultimately, we need to find peace. The very beginning of the Bible actually tells the story of God creating this good and beautiful world and living in good and beautiful relationship with humanity. And scholars use a word to describe the opening pages of Genesis. They say it gives us a picture of shalom. And shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. In other words, from the beginning, we were created for peace, actually. It's actually how God wired us. We really do need peace. However, the question that I want us to wrestle with this morning is, if we need peace, then why don't we receive peace? Like, if we were really created for peace, if peace really is this thing that every time we encounter it, we think, oh, I needed that. If we really do need peace, then why is it that moments of peace feel like they're so rare in our lives? Why does it feel like, especially this time of year, that actual peace is so hard to find? If we need peace, why don't we actually experience it more regularly? What I think is so interesting is, if you think about it, there's actually a whole lot of things that you don't need that you still find a way to receive them, right? Like for me, I don't need NFL football. But you better believe, even though I work at a church every Sunday, I find a way to receive NFL football. I don't need, I don't know, Parmesan garlic wings from Wingstop. I don't need them, but thanks be to God for DoorDash, I find a way to receive them, right? We don't need another season of Dancing with the Stars, but I'll be darned if we don't keep receiving them. Shout out to Robert Irwin on your win, right? It's just, isn't that fascinating, right? It's fascinating the lengths we are willing to go to receive these things that we don't actually need. But then when it comes to the things that our soul most needs, the truth is we don't often do what needs to be done in order to receive them. And this time of year especially, I think we need peace. Like as we get ready for the crazy busyness that usually defines the holidays, we need peace. As you probably are getting geared up for those end of year deadlines at work, you need peace. As I'm guessing you probably just had the same old argument with the same old relative around the same old Thanksgiving table. Maybe you came to church this morning and you thought, I need some peace. And I think perhaps the reason, just one man's opinion, I think perhaps the reason we don't receive peace on a more consistent basis is actually because we have a misunderstanding about peace. We misunderstand what it is and where it actually comes from. And so this morning, what I want us to do for just a few minutes is I want us to look to the Bible to give us a vision for what peace actually means, for what God's peace actually means. Offers us for where we can find and how we can form more peace on a more consistent basis, especially as we look forward to Christmas. Now, you already know that one of the words in the Bible for peace is the Hebrew word shalom. That's the Old Testament's word that is usually translated as peace, but the New Testament actually has a Greek word, the word eirene. And these two words, like I said, normally translated as peace in the Bible. However, these words can actually more closely be translated as wholeness or completeness. That's actually the picture that these words are trying to create for us. That's why the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church, encourages them to make every effort to keep unity or wholeness, completeness, keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of what? Peace. It's a peace that binds us together. This is why the book of Philippians, when it talks about peace guarding our hearts and guarding our minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace that keeps us and holds us together. It helps us to stay whole within ourselves and within relationship. In other words, in the Bible, peace actually describes this process, gives us a picture of a process of taking what has been broken and putting it back together again. That's the Bible's vision of peace, bringing something that has been broken and bringing it back to wholeness or completeness. Now, notice how that is very different than our culture's accepted definition of peace. See, in our world, in our day, we traditionally define peace by an absence. What I mean is, we define peace as the absence of chaos, or just the absence of conflict, right? Like when you feel overwhelmed by the craziness of your crazy family, you need to leave mom's house and get away to find some peace, AKA you need to be absent from that craziness. Or think about when we pray for peace in our world, when we pray for peace in the wars around the world, what are we really praying for? We're praying for an end or an absence of conflict in that area. Essentially, how our world thinks of peace, our world treats peace as a pause button. That's how our world thinks of peace, right? You get overwhelmed by the chaos of your life, and so you press pause and go on vacation. God bless those PTO days. Or think about when violence occurs in our country, everyone argues about it online for 3 to 5 days, and then we just kind of collectively decide to press pause on it. And we live in this peace, or it feels like we're at peace again. And that, to me, is actually the problem with peace as a pause. Because think about it. If peace is just a pause, then when the pause is over, so is the peace, right? There was never actually any real peace to begin with. There was just the illusion of it because we stepped away for a moment. But the Bible, again, actually gives us a very different picture. Scripture invites us to see peace not as a pause. Scripture actually invites us to see peace as a pursuit. It's something that we live in and move toward, meaning that peace is not something we just randomly happen to find in certain less busy seasons of life. But biblical peace is actually something we can form from within the midst of even the busiest of seasons. In other words, peace is not us temporarily sweeping a conflict under the rug and hoping that everyone else just forgets about it. But what real peace is it means to transformationally engage with that conflict, to actually deal with it, to dig into it with the power and grace and goodness of God so that it can be restored, so that it can be brought to wholeness again. Really simply, the easiest way I know how to say it is the Bible's vision for peace is this. When the world breaks peace, we make peace. That's it, right there. When chaos, when division, when violence, or any other kind of sin, when it breaks peace, either within us or in the world around us, what we are invited to do, what we are called to do, is to work with God, to partner with God, to take what has been broken and bring it back to wholeness. In other words, to make peace, to put the pieces back together. So what does this mean for you and I? It means that when the constant commitments and the barrage of busyness at the end of this year starts to overwhelm you to the point where you're not even enjoying Christmas anymore. I just have so much to do. I have so many things to buy. I have so many parties to go to. I have so many friends. When that starts to overwhelm you to the point where you're not even, you just want Christmas to be over, what a follower of Jesus does, rather than just pressing on, because that's what we do this time of year, it's just really busy. What a follower of Jesus does is they think of peace as an act of resistance almost. That they resist this pressure to define this time of year by how much you're able to do, how many parties you can go to, how many gifts you can buy, how many appointments you can keep. And instead, a follower of Jesus perhaps recommits themselves to a daily practice of just being with God in this season, so that we don't get caught up in missing Jesus in a season that is supposed to be all about Jesus. What this means is, when you have that same argument again and again and again with your sister, or with your dad, or with your child, or with your uncle, or with your coworker, and once the argument's over and you're not mad at each other anymore and you're tempted to just sweep it under the rug because you guys always eventually just get over it anyway, it means that you realize that sweeping it under the rug doesn't mean there's any peace in the relationship, because you haven't done the work to make peace. You just ran away in order to keep the peace. And what a follower of Jesus does is, anytime there is any sort of brokenness in a relationship, we seek to partner with God and the other party to bring peace to that relationship. What this means is, when our world continues to spiral into its chaos and division and violence and wars, rather than allowing the broken peace in the headlines to constantly break the peace in our hearts, what a follower of Jesus does is sees the broken peace in the headlines and begins to see themselves as an agent of peace toward it. Meaning, we become carriers of peace to a world that desperately needs it. When our world breaks peace, as it so often does, doesn't our world need people who are committed to doing the work and partnering with God to start to put the pieces back together again? Doesn't our world need people who embody that famous prayer by St. Francis of Assisi, which says, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Lord, make me a vessel, make me a carrier of your peace. Lord, where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, let me bring light. Where there's sadness, let me bring joy." Friends, this type of peace, it's not an accident. Like, it's not just something that happens sometimes and doesn't happen other times, depending on if your circumstances feel peaceful. This type of peace is an active focus. This type of peace, it's a pursuit. And most importantly, it is a partnership with God to not only find, but actually do the work of forming peace, regardless of what the circumstance might look like. You know, for me, growing up in my family, like a lot of families, how do I say this? We weren't really like a talk things out type of family. We were more like a shelter-in-place family when it came to conflict. And it wasn't like that arguments or fights or relational brokenness didn't happen. It just meant that we rarely actively talked about it whenever it did. We just kind of retreated to our rooms until the emotions subsided, and then we came back downstairs like nothing happened. In other words, our strategy was to press pause and then try and keep the peace by operating under the illusion of peace. But a few weeks ago, my sister reached out to me, and she asked if, I have one sister, one younger sister, and she asked if her and I could get together for dinner. And when we did, she told me that over that dinner, she wanted to talk about some of the issues that existed within our family and some of the issues that existed between us. And when I tell you I wanted to take my food to go, oh Lord. And so we sat in that booth for an hour and a half, and we talked some things out. And I'll tell you what, that conversation, it did not feel peaceful. Felt really weird to me. Because I have those types of conversations with people in my life now, but it felt totally foreign to me to have that kind of conversation with someone in my family of origin, because I have an entire lifetime of practice avoiding those conversations with them. It felt really uncomfortable for me to name some of the hurts that I was feeling and had felt for years. It felt uncomfortable to hear some of the hurts that she had been experiencing. But I'll tell you what, I left that dinner And I was so encouraged because I knew that over the course of that hour and a half, we had taken a step together toward real peace in our family. Not just this illusion of it in the absence of real conflict, but we had actually taken a step together to pursue real meaningful peace through truth-telling, through grace, through humility and vulnerability with one another. Soul City, hear me when I say this. Peace, it is not some magical escape to a spa where nothing is ever wrong. What peace actually is it is the process of working with God to make things right again. That's real peace. Real peace is not living in some temporary delusion that it's all good, no worries, be happy. That's not real peace. Real peace is actually a hope that no matter how bad or broken the situation may be, there is no situation so bad, there is no relationship so broken that God cannot bring restoration and wholeness and peace to it again. That's real peace. And there is no greater picture of this kind of peace than the story of Christmas. Think about it. At Christmas, we pause to remember that God's response to the brokenness of our world was not to turn a blind eye, not to sweep it under the rug. God's response was to send Jesus, who we call the Prince of what? Peace. You want to know why we call Jesus the Prince of Peace? It's because when we were broken in sin, when our world was broken, Jesus came into that brokenness. And through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, he made things whole again. He made me whole again. He made you whole again. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to take that peace that we have received and to carry it into any sphere, any relationship, any part of ourselves where there is brokenness. We say, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace there. God, help me to bring peace and make peace, not on my own, but working together with you wherever there is brokenness. That's our invitation. So right now, I wanna invite you to take out something to write with, whether you have a journal or even if it's on your phone, really. Take it out right now. Because there's two questions that I want us to consider today. Two questions that I want us to reflect on as we think about this reality of peace as a pursuit in partnership with God to take what is broken and put it back together again. And I want to encourage you to write down the answers to these two questions. The first question is this: where in your life has peace been broken? Where in your life has peace been broken? Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe a person came to your mind right away when I said that. Maybe it's actually something within you, a deep sense of anxiety, a struggle in your mental health in this season. Maybe it's actually something in our world that every time you see it on your social feed, it just breaks the peace in you. I want you to write it down. Maybe it's one thing, maybe it's a handful of things. Where in your life has peace been broken? Where is there a lack of wholeness? Where are things breaking apart? Write it down. And then the second question, what can you do to make peace in that situation? Not that it all depends on you. It doesn't. But there is something that you can do. There's a part that God is inviting you to play in bringing peace to that situation, to that relationship. My sister didn't make peace in our relationship, but she certainly made the call and invited me to dinner. What call can you make this week? What conversation can you have this week that could plant the seed for peace? What appointment do you need to schedule this week? What is the specific way that God is inviting you to partner with Him, to take that brokenness in your life, to take that brokenness in our world, and to take a step toward real peace? I want you to write it down. I want you to write down your answers to both of these, because I find, this might just be me, when God calls me to things, it's usually helpful if I leave myself receipts. Meaning, it's usually helpful if I write it down so I don't forget it. If you're writing it on your phone, maybe text it to yourself today. Email it to yourself today. If you're really tech savvy, schedule an email to go out once daily. I don't know. Whatever you need to do to hold yourself accountable, because there's something that only you can do. There's a step toward peace that only you can take this week. Would you be willing to do it, knowing that you're not doing it alone, but you are partnering with the very Prince of Peace himself, who knows a thing or two about taking what is broken and putting it back together again? We're going to leave those questions up on the screen, and I want to encourage you to keep reflecting on that. Like, don't stop at the easy answer. That's what I do sometimes, is stop at the easy answer, and I don't write down the real one. Write down the real one. And right now, Carrington's going to come out, and he's actually going to sing a song over us before we begin to worship together. And during that time, I want to invite you, keep digging into those questions, because maybe God has more for you. But let's pray together right now. God, thank you. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for giving us Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one who put us back together again. And God, help this church to be a church that partners with you to bring peace in our lives. Lord, in the words of St. Francis, make us an instrument of your peace. Make us an instrument of your peace. Make us an instrument of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.